This conference will now be recorded.
Whenever you're ready, Chris.
So am I leader now or what?
Yeah, do you mind? Go ahead and just get us started. What we're gonna do is you'll call the meeting to order here. We'll do some quick introductions just because we've got a couple new people on the board. And then we'll jump into a quick reorganization, which would be, we'll be looking for a chair and a vice chair for the committee.
Right, sounds good. Well, then I will hereby call this meeting to order. Do you just want to go around then and do introductions with everybody?
Yeah, I'll do a quick roll call and then in that same order, we'll do introductions. So Christopher Frank.
I am Christopher Frank. I'm a local attorney in town. I've only been on this board for, I don't know what, a year or two. This is like the fourth time we've met the entire time. Otherwise, we can go again.
Fabulous. Josh Munson.
I am Josh Munson, local trooper in the area. Been in Willmar 2 years, and this is my first meeting, so looking forward to being part of some city board.
We're glad you're with us. Sandana.
I'm Sandana Gallman-Ashley. I've been in Willmar now for about 3 years, and I serve as the executive presbyter for the Minnesota Valley's Presbytery. My territory begins and Silver Lake goes down towards Sioux Falls and all the way up to Cross Lake. And so I travel quite a bit for my work. And although I've been elected, this is my first meeting, so it's good to see everyone.
Very good. Dan Rigstad.
Yeah, this is Dan Rigstad. I live in Willmar. I'm retired. I've been here a long time, and I've been retired a long time.
So. Fabulous. So for the record, those are the four Board of Zoning Appeals members we have on. Andrew Ingen is absent. Also on this call, we have myself, Sarah Swedberg, planner. We've got Sean Christensen, city engineer, Bruce Cochran, assistant city engineer, Brian Grammett, city administrator, and Tyler Edwards representing the project from Menards. Chris, if you want to move us into reorganization, we'll take nominations for chair and vice chair.
Yep, let's move into reorganization. And you said we needed the four for a quorum, right? So we're good on that?
Correct.
All right, so first is picking new chairs or?
Yeah.
All right, anyone want to volunteer or nominate someone to be chair?
Who is our current chair?
Our current chair was Jay Lottman, but he has since retired from the Board of Zoning Appeals, so we're looking for something new.
Okay. And the vice chair is who?
Christopher Frank.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Chris Frank.
Oh, just okay. Well, I would nominate then our current co-chair, our vice chair, Chris Frank.
Sure thing. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. We'll see how that goes. We'll do that.
Any other nominations? Otherwise, we'll take a vote on that one.
I move nominations be closed.
All right. With that, we'll do a roll call because we're on audio here only. So, Board Member Frank?
Yeah.
Board Member Munson?
Yes.
Board Member Ashley?
Yes.
And Board Member Rigstad?
Yes.
Fabulous. Then, welcome to the position of board chair, Mr. Frank, and we will move to the vice chair position.
Yes. Would anyone like to nominate to be vice chair? Oh, come on, it's fun.
If nobody wants to do it, I would be willing. This is Dan Rigstead.
All right, I'll nominate Dan Rigstead then.
And I'll second that.
Should we go ahead with a vote if no one else has any nominations?
Sounds good. All right. Board Member Munson?
Yes.
Board Member Ashley?
Yes.
Board Member Rigstead?
Yes.
And Board Member Frank?
Yes.
There you have it. All right. Well, then that gets us down to business.
All right, let's get to the variance. Everybody get a packet and get through it?
Yes.
You bet.
Perfect. So the first thing, this is a public hearing. So Chris will go ahead and open that public hearing. And then once we do that, I can go ahead and introduce the item.
Do you need me to do anything specific, or do I just declare this to be the start of the open meeting?
Go ahead and just declare it as the start.
All right, the meeting is now open.
Fabulous. All right, so before us tonight is a variance for Menards on the south end of town. There was a map included on your in your packet. They are the property owner and also the applicant. They are requesting a side yard setback on their northern property line of 0 feet. In a commercial zone, the zoning ordinance requires 10 per property.
A lot of background noise here.
Yeah. Tyler, I might try to see if that was. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that. So a 10-foot setback is required in commercial zones. The property is zoned general business. So the development of Menards exists, and it was built in 2004. Everything's in compliance in that manner. The variance, again, is being requested on that northern property line to allow for the addition of an automated entrance lane to the yard gate. And this is to help them compete with it's happening store. These improvements are happening store wide, and it's to help them compete with online shopping trends. The most notable comments that we got back, there was no opposition or comments really received from the fire department, municipal utilities, or the police chief. The major kind of piece for us to consider alongside of this, because it's directly related, is the drainage ditch that is along the northern property line. Originally, it was a county drainage ditch. In Minnesota, drainage ditches are covered under drainage law, and so there's not a formal easement that's over this public ditch. However, it is city property, and it is the city's authority and jurisdiction to maintain that ditch as part of the county ditch system, and this is county ditch number 23. The notable thing that engineering and the county drainage authority both brought up was the encroachment of this ditch when we allow, if we were to allow a 10-foot setback variance for this property. Menards also submitted a letter, and they did point out there are 4 findings of facts that the Board of Zoning Appeals must find in order for this to be eligible for approval. The property owner proposes that the use is a reasonable manner, not permitted by the zoning ordinance, that the plight of the landowner is due to unique circumstance of the property, not created by the landowner, that the variance, if granted, will not alter the essential character of the locality, and the variance, if granted, will not be detrimental to nor endanger the public welfare. And that public welfare is kind of the piece that that the city engineering and county drainage authority have pointed out. Also included in your packet towards the end are three images just to give you kind of an on the ground look of this particular site. As you can see, we know that, you know, obviously Menards property extends 10 feet from where their current improvements exist, but they're pretty much at the top of that sloping bank there for that ditch. Drainage law for a county, when a ditch is under county authority, requires that there be a 16.5-foot setback from the top of the bank to allow for maintenance. And it also allows that vegetative cover to kind of play into water quality, especially when you're through fields and different things. The last piece of your packet was a letter submitted by the county drainage authority attorney. And so that discusses kind of what is needed from the county side if this is approved. Right now, in your packet and staff comments, staff did not make a recommendation, which is typical of this particular board in the past. What I will tell you is that from a staff standpoint, what we think the major points of discussion tonight should be would be that public welfare drainage ditch piece, as well as the unique circumstance not created by the landowner to approve this variance. In speaking with our county or with our city attorney earlier today, we see this going probably one of two ways, either denial of the variance or approval with certain conditions. And those conditions would be, let me pull them up here, that no improvements shall obstruct or damage or otherwise have a limiting effect on the hydraulic capacity of County Ditch number 23. The improvements shall be constructed by Menards, no improvements shall be constructed prior to city and county ditch authority approval of plans to maintain that hydraulic capacity, and that any costs associated with changes to that ditch to maintain the integrity of its purpose and use would be borne on Menards as the developer. With that, there is representation from Menards tonight, Tyler Edwards, so if at any time there's questions, they can certainly be called upon. Chris, I will turn it back to you to see if there's any other public comment at this time before we close that and bring it for discussion.
And if there is anyone in the meeting that wishes to make public comments, please do so now.
Sarah, is this when I should do my little talk?
Yeah, if you want to go ahead, Tyler, you certainly can.
Sure, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, everyone. I certainly appreciate it. I just wanted to briefly talk about our project kind of in two different ways. One is the variance itself, pretending there's no ditch there whatsoever. You know, a setback variance of this nature that's 160 feet from the nearest building and almost 1,000 feet from the highway, certainly not imposing on the public or having any real detrimental impact or really even visible unless you're visiting Menards or the neighboring business. All we're doing is adding another entrance lane to the canopy that will match the existing canopy. This is being done at all of our stores across the whole country. I'm sure you know thousands of retailers are closing their doors every single year because they can't compete with the internet. That's exactly what we don't want to do. So this is being implemented so Menards can stay open, everyone can keep their jobs, we can keep selling stuff, sales tax coming in for a long time to come. So this small project is actually going to be pretty vital to our long-term success. When we started this, we did look at alternative options, knowing that there's a limited amount of setback available and the ditch. Unfortunately, there's nowhere else on the property to move the gate besides where it already is. Moving it to the south side of the property is right where our garden center is, which would mean we'd have heavy truck traffic and vehicle traffic right next to all the pedestrians, children, all the people shopping for their flowers. So that is certainly a less than ideal situation. So adding on to the existing gate is certainly our preferred method. Unfortunately, it did request a variance in this case. The good news is it's kind of far away from any public view, which I think certainly helps us with some of the criteria. Had we known in 2004 when we built this store that, you know, back then it was dial-up internet, so no one was buying something online. If we had known this back then, we would have saved ourselves some room or figured it out back then. It's hard to say. You know, we don't know what's going to happen the next 10 years either. I did some research and you know, Menards picked where we sat, right between the wetlands and pond on the south and the ditch the north. We actually moved the ditch a little bit back then to get where we are today. So we certainly hope we can get your support on the variance itself. And then on to the ditch itself, like I mentioned, we did move that once. So I was a little unclear on the history of the 16 feet and the banks and all that. We certainly want to work with the city. So what I'd like to propose is, assuming you're okay with the setback part of the variance, you allow us to work with the city and the city engineer and the county ditch authorities to come up with those hydraulic models for pipe sizes, ditch sizes, maintenance, you know, because that's a fairly costly endeavor to start. And you know, we're certainly willing to do that if the setback itself is okay. Then we'll go spend all the money to make sure we're not negatively impacting the ditch, both upstream or downstream, for the city and the neighbors. Everyone can maintain it and the water can flow through it. So I guess that would be my request. If the variance itself is okay, allow us to go spend the money to make sure it works well for everybody.
Yep. Well, you certainly answered one of my questions. I guess in essence, you answered my question about what Menards would be able to do to deal with any changes that might be needed. So with that ditch and working with the county and the city regarding the flow and whatever, the setback, you know, with that ditch, that answered my question regarding that.
Yes, sir. We are willing to look at pipes, you know, moving the ditch banks, taking over maintenance, whatever makes everyone happy. There's a solution out there, and we're willing to find it.
Okay.
Have you had any of those initial discussions with anybody?
I briefly talked to our engineer and the city engineer about pipe sizing, hydraulic models, and the amount of water that might flow through the ditch. So while I haven't signed anyone up to do the modeling, because we didn't know if it's kind of a spendy endeavor, we didn't know if you know, the board would accept our expansion, then we'd go ahead and more or less pull the trigger on doing those models to make sure that, you know, we can find the right pipe size and the height of the water during a flood and all that information.
Yeah, because I mean, just, you know, I'm not an engineer either, but being a real estate attorney, you know, on first glance from the pictures, it seems like it's probably going to have to be a culvert, which I think one of the engineers recommended as well, which is probably going to get pretty spendy on Menards' end.
It might, but if that's the route that goes, that's okay.
I guess for us in getting over that that number four point in the findings of facts, which I loved the letter, by the way. It's nice having this all laid out for us. We usually don't get something so formal. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I think the number four is going to be the sticker here. With, you know, we can't really know the detrimental or endangering impact on public welfare until we have some sort of plan of what is going to be the ditch.
Sarah, would a condition that we can't pull any permits until we reasonably find a solution that's approved by the city, the drainage authority, and everyone else address number four from the staff and legal side of things?
Yeah, I was going to jot in there. So those conditions, if the Board of Zoning Appeals did find all of the other findings of fact to be accurate and true, the way we could address number four, just because it's kind of a catch-22, right? Like, do you go and get the hydraulics first and spend that money without having the variance, or do you go to the variance board first? The way we can handle that particular issue is by having those three conditions that staff is recommending to make sure that the county and the city are involved the entire way through, to make sure that the public welfare being, you know, in this case, the property owners down the way, upstream of in this system, are not adversely affected, because that's been taken care of with the here. So those three conditions that I mentioned earlier, that would be sufficient to address that issue.
Do you know where all this feedback's coming from?
The best I can tell, it might just be when Tyler's not talking, it seems like, but as soon as you start talking, it's fine. the other piece that staff kind of had that question on, just for the board to maybe consider as well, was that the finding number two.
Unique circumstances.
Right. And so the way that Minnesota state statute talks about unique circumstances is really related to the property. And I know Tyler and I had some discussion kind of before the meeting today that, you know, arguably property could be considered the building and the footings and everything that already exists as well, but it's a unique circumstance that's not created by the landowner. And so in the Menards letter, they talk about, you know, just the changing circumstances of retail, which is certainly something to consider, but I have a hard time saying that that's exactly what statute is wanting you to find accurate and true. In this case, though, I think the story about, you know, we do have the wetlands and the stormwater pond on the south end of the building. We also have this ditch that was once moved at the origin of this development, that starts to become kind of this unique circumstance where we've got limiting factors on the north and the south side that are kind of playing into this property, but certainly another point for the board to discuss what their thoughts are on that.
Yeah. Tyler, on that south end, if it had to be moved over there, how would that even work? Would orders and things have to be going through the greenhouse or the green area, or would you have to do new construction over there to make new room, or?
I'll be real honest, it wouldn't work at all on the south end. You know, you really can't put semi trucks through the middle of where we sell the plants. So it'd be like driving semi trucks through the middle of the toilet paper aisle. You know, it just, we just lose too much usable space. It's too dangerous. It's too much of a liability. So moving it south just really isn't an option.
If you did go south, then you would move all the lanes, including the two that are already there, rather than just inputting one for the online customers on the other side?
Yes, there's actually pretty sophisticated fiber optic cables between the store's computer systems, the order pickup area, and the gate. So it really couldn't be routed to two directions the way that our computer programs work with the gate guards, their scanners and information, the pickup area computers, and the store registers.
Tyler, would you have an argument that, so it makes sense that you couldn't see the volume coming in 2020 here for online stuff, but it looks like, did you get the small variance at the beginning, so it's only a 15-foot setback for you as well instead of the 16 and a half in the original construction? Did I get that right?
No, the 16 and a half foot is the distance from the top of the ditch that there's supposed to be a setback from the ditch. I think we actually exceeded the original side yard setback when we built the store by about 5 feet. There's about 15 feet from the edge of the pavement to the property line. But as far as the 16 feet, that's a ditch related setback, not a zoning related setback.
I can comment on the 16 and a half feet if it's appropriate.
Yeah.
16 and a half feet was created by the Minnesota legislature to create a buffer strip for water quality on all petitioned county ditches or petitioned public ditches. It came into effect probably about 10 years ago since the store was built. So it really has nothing to do with the building itself, but it has to do with ditches statewide. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I was just wondering because getting back to the unique circumstances, I thought I had read in there, or maybe I just been told that they actually got a very small variance during the original construction in 04 to be within 15 feet instead of the 16 and a half, but maybe I got that wrong.
Yeah, there are no other variances on record for this property, Chris.
Okay. But I guess getting back, the way I understand it, that I've read it, is that unique circumstances qualification means that it has to be kind of something inherent with the actual land, not something that the owners of the land created themselves. And so there's an argument that, you know, you building it there originally is kind of your fault rather than a unique circumstance of the land. I'm not saying I'm arguing that point. I'm thinking that would be the only other issue here. That would be a problem.
And we do understand that. We don't like requesting variances. I can tell you from the 325 projects we've done, I bet you we've done about 10 or 15 variances. None of them have been sandwiched between a county ditch and a wetland quite like this. It's kind of an odd shaped site with the interchange. And then the wetlands on the bottom. It's actually wetlands all along the south, wrapping to the east side. You know, do we have an oddly octagonal or triangle-shaped property that's 100% unique to every other parcel in town? No, but it's you know, I also don't know of many other stores that are quite laid out like this. At least for us. Again, I can't speak for the rest of Wilmer though.
Brian, did you have something you wanted to add in earlier, or did it get covered?
Well, I actually got covered by the question about the unique circumstances not created by the landlord. I don't know if anybody else here tonight has ever negotiated with Menards to construct a new facility in their community as I have. And they're a tough negotiator, and they use every square inch they can possibly use to their benefit. They lay it out how they want it, and sometimes there are issues. Matter of fact, here in New Ulm, we had airport clear zones that had to change where the building sat. They actually had to cut a corner off to make it work. And so when you have regulations such as side yard setbacks or clear zones on an airport or front yard setbacks, usually what I've seen is the business, you know, tries to maximize its space. And item number two, there's nothing unique about this property. You know, Menards could have turned their building and put the parking lot to the south and done all sorts of things that might have made this a non-issue. They could have even made a triangle building and it would have been a non-issue thing. You know, those are things that are done when they design it, but they're all done with Menards' blueprint. This is how we do it. Now, each site has its uniqueness. That's true, but that's not what we're talking about here when we talk about uniqueness of the property site. We're talking about, you know, let's say you have a piece of property and a highway comes through and now your property is not square anymore, it's triangle. And due to no fault of your own, you need a variance. That's not the case here, but I empathize with the situation. It's pretty tight, and I don't know how you can get past number two, okay? But if you can, then number four issue seems to be at least potentially resolvable by the wishes of the applicant to work with both the city and the county to resolve this. Unfortunately, I've been around a long time and I've seen that comment come up once or twice before. And nobody knows what this thing is going to cost. And it could cost a pretty big penny to put a culvert in there. So to that extent, I guess I'm open to looking at and finding out what the solution might be, because we need to have something, I think, to think about in order to continue on with the process. So, you know, it's unfortunate that these things cost so much up front, but it sure would help if we knew that, you know, Menards was talking about a $10,000 bill instead of a $150,000 bill to make sure that the waterway isn't reduced for negative impacts upstream. Because that's what we're really talking about. We're not talking about what it kind of looks like. You know, that's not hurting the public too much. It really is the flow of the water. And all the other stuff, you know, much appreciated in description, but it's primary. The county's, you know, got an obligation, the city's got an obligation, and to the extent that we can meet that obligation and satisfy Walmart's needs, we can move forward. So.
I guess maybe if I can, maybe I need some clarification. I guess I'm confused as to why another lane is needed. What changes are there with using the inbound lane already, with trying to get online orders, seeing other stores, not Menards, but you know, they don't have multiple lanes or yards to go into, but I'm just wondering why the current lane doesn't work as far as checking in for online orders. Why that another lane is needed?
Sure, I can certainly address that. I'll start from a very broad perspective. You know, Menards doesn't sell stuff like other retailers. You know, you can go to Walmart or Target and get your order, and someone can push it out in a little cart and load it up for you in about 30 seconds. A lot of these people that are ordering online at Menards have already been to the store on Saturday, and maybe their contractor's ordering their roll of carpets or a dishwasher, or they were talking to their wife and they ordered a new stove or 15 gallons of paint. You know, that's not something that's easily maneuvered. So we've actually, if you noticed from our last expansion, created a brand new order pickup area on the back of the store. So what you do is you get notified your order's ready, and then you would drive through the gate to the pickup area and then get your order loaded for you. Now, where that's caused problems is there's only one gate guard Now he is checking every vehicle that leaves and checking the vehicles that come in through the main entrance lane. That can get a little backed up at times. Say there's a semi truck checking in at the same time as six or seven cars on a Saturday. Well, everyone gets all flustered that they have to wait to go every other car. And then the whole process of online convenience kind of breaks down. And unfortunately, we get a lot of complaints about that. So the solution was the new automated entrance lane. You have your order, you scan your barcode, you get directed directly to the order pickup area. The people back there have been notified through the barcode system, and your order is ready for you to pick up and drive around and leave without getting out of your car. It's kind of our way of competing with the Target app, where you tell them they're there and they bring you out to stall number two or whatever. But you sell bigger stuff, it's a little bit more effort to get people through and to the designated pickup area and out. Because sometimes there's big trucks waiting and it takes 5-10 minutes. And for whatever reason, in today's day and age, people just cannot wait.
Thank you.
Well, I can see your point here. It's kind of a new normal. I hate to use that phrase, but there is a new normal. I haven't been in a store since early March. And it'll probably be a long time before I go in one again. I'm too old to take chances and too young to die. But, this is a new convenience that is being provided, and it is something that Menards never anticipated even 6 months ago would be necessary. I can see where this becomes a need. And, it seems reasonable to me that we would make this change. And I can look at uniqueness in a different way as well. Uniqueness in that things have changed and not something that's been caused by the owner of the property. And I see a lot of value in this, and I personally, if Menards can work it out with the city and the county to get this done, I would certainly be in favor of this being approved. But, sir, I have another question. I was reading through. I don't remember if it was a county or the city, but I don't know if there was a typo in there. But it seemed like this ditch has been vacated. Is that? Was I reading that correctly?
There was a bit of a mix up in that wording. So what happened was it originally was a county ditch. The process for the city to become, because it was a ditch then within the city limits due to annexation, the county then turned over jurisdiction to the city. So it is still a public ditch.
The county vacated, but now the city has it.
Yep. So the city has jurisdiction over it, but the county is still involved because they have jurisdiction over ditch that's downstream as part of the larger ditch system.
The water flow from in this ditch comes somewhere and goes where? You know offhand?
I don't. Sean or Bruce, would you be able to speak to that at all?
Generally, this is Bruce. Go ahead, Sean.
Can you repeat that, Sarah? I'm sorry.
Dan was asking about the flow for County Ditch 23. Where does it come from and where does it go? Just general.
Yeah, this particular, they're actually at near the head end of this ditch or this drainage ditch. And so that's an advantage for Menards simply in pipe size and hydraulics. The problem with this particular ditch comes when backwater or tailwater comes from Lake Wakanda, believe it or not. As Lake Wakanda fills up,
as the drainage fills up, then it backs up into this ditch and it backs up. In fact, it's backed up into their parking lot in the past. And so that's where the struggle comes with trying to figure out the sizing of this. But for the most part, the drainage comes from that field. It's to the west of Menards, because that's kind of the head end of the drainage basin.
Okay. Is there a resolution to this issue that the city would find acceptable?
Yeah. So the
or shouldn't I ask you that question?
No, if the board is able to find all of the findings of fact true, then their staff recommendation to also include a couple different conditions, basically that the ditch isn't obstructed, we don't limit the hydraulic flow of that ditch or compromise its purpose and use for those downstream, that the improvements aren't constructed until those plans are approved by the city and the county, and that any cost associated with that would be the responsibility of Menards. But I think what Brian had mentioned too is that that second finding of fact, the unique circumstance, we use the word unique circumstance, but what we're really talking about there is that unique, like, land circumstance. So what it'll just be a matter of, you know, how, Chris, you kind of alluded to, you know, is there a unique circumstance? And I think that that's kind, I mean, I hate to say it, that's yours to decide. But, you know, what is the extenuating unique circumstance that was not created by Menards, that limits them and requires, like, that creates this as their only, you know, as their only solution? We talked a little bit about, you know, kind of the wetland on the south and the ditch on the north constraining that. You know, does the board feel that that's a unique circumstance not created by the landowner? We've it can kind of go, it could go either way. In the past, other examples of variances approved in town. One really classic example that we've seen is along First Street, when a property owner is maybe redeveloping some property along First Street. The city, oh boy, a while ago, for the expansion of First Street, took a wider right-of-way width than what was historic. And so therefore, some of the properties further north than Menards, kind of up near downtown, and by McDonald's, kind of that general area, because those properties have a shorter width than what was historic, the city took some of that property. That was a unique circumstance that those landowners didn't have any say in, didn't create themselves, and therefore, you know, front yard setbacks have generally been granted variances in that area due to that scenario. So I think really the question I would say that finding a fact four can be satisfied by conditions, as long as we're taking that public welfare of that ditch into play. I think the last remaining question is really that finding two, is there that unique circumstance on this property?
Sarah, if I could jump in for just one second, at the last, I think his name is Dan, brought up a point about the virus shopping that we've seen. I just wanted to add that, you know, we've gone from 50 cars a day to using the gate to 300 and 400. So there's, you know, that's certainly changed our business model and how we operate. And, you know, you get a handful of variances every year. And, you know, a lot of states do say unique to the land. But I've never had a attorney or commission, you know, hold us to exactly the land itself, the shape. You know, there's always considerations of economic climate, business trends, the built structure. You can't really predict the future, so that's always come into play in the past. I don't want to tell you guys how to do or don't interpret the ordinance or statute, Just that, you know, it's certainly been interpreted different ways in the past, and there's a lot more to play here than just the shape of the lot, more or less. You know, these are hundreds of people's jobs, you know, tax dollars. That, like I said, that there's more involved here than just the shape of the lot, I guess, is the point I want to get across.
Yep, absolutely. And statute is also makes the point to specify as well that economic hardship alone is not grounds for approval of a variance, but taking in consideration of all of these different factors at play would then be necessary in that circumstance. And maybe there is that element of economic hardship, but it can't solely be based on that.
Yes, I have a question for Tyler. So you said Menards was putting these in to all the stores now, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Every store across the country has a gate, or another lane to the gate, I should say, and a pickup area.
Are you, like, do a lot of them have it already, or are you adding a bunch right now?
I'd say 30 to 40% already have it. The remaining are getting built this year, with a handful of them kind of following up. There's probably about 10 to 15 that are in the Wilmer situation where we're finishing the approvals, may build this year, might build, you know, in the fall, as soon as we can get approval and get the plans approved.
So the increase in the stats, like you just used, the was 50, now it's 300 a day going through it. And you talked about people making the complaints. Was that the Wilmer specific store, or is that just in general that Menards has been seeing?
No, that's general. That's across the board.
So you don't have actual stats on Wilmer, do you, of what kind of, like, increase there's been?
Not in front of me, no.
Yeah, I guess my two cents on it is that I kind of see it as a little bit of both. There is the unique circumstance of the, you know, effect of both just online in general and COVID emphasizing the need for more pickup. But there's also the issue of, you know, is that a unique circumstance in regard to the land? So it's kind of half Menards' fault for not taking in the ability to add on when they built the thing, and then it's half just the circumstances that we find ourselves in nowadays. So
one thing I would add, which kind of coincides with, you know, probably sitting on the fence on this, is that I tend to sometimes take things to the most radical direction we possibly could. And if we would come up with the same answer that somebody may propose here, then you'd say, well, there you have it. That's the right answer. But if this was right of way for Highway 71, and sales have changed and gone more to computer purchasing, online sales, would we take right of way to, you know, give an extra 10 feet to Menards? And you know, I'm not saying that ever would happen, but it's an extension of probably maybe the worst case scenario, because what we're really looking at is encroaching on, you know, a public facility, one being the ditch, but another if it was Highway 71 or Highway 23. Would we say, because we have online sales, it's perfectly fine that we're going to bump this out into the right of way of a state or a federal highway? And I think we'd all say, nah, we wouldn't do that in all likelihood. But there might be unique circumstances to this Wilmer location. So there's probably not that black and white answer that somebody would really say, this is absolutely yes, and this is absolutely no. And that puts the Board of Adjustment into our Board of Zoning Appeals into a unique situation of having to make that decision. And that's the role you play in making that social application of your community and its standards to variances just like this. So
I do think that Brian brings up a really good point on the extremes. But I think on the other end of the extremes, would the board be comfortable explaining to the citizens of Willmar that Menards closed down like Macy's or Sears or everyone else over 10 feet of setback that wasn't visible from the highway? So there's certainly two ends of the extreme, I guess.
No, I'll bounce back on you, Tyler. We're not talking about visibility. We're talking about the flow of water. Okay?
I don't think we are, though. I think we're good with number four because we'll fix it. I already told you, we'll pay whatever it costs to make sure we don't flood upstream, downstream, put a pipe in. That's fine. That's how much we're committed to the store.
And that's why
we're talking about the unique land value.
Yeah, but it's not a visual thing. This doesn't apply to the visual thing. It's, as you stated, you're 150 feet away from the auto thing or the tractor farm thing. You're tucked alongside, people don't see that part of the building very easily. What the variance is for is not a visual thing. The variance is for is encroaching onto a waterway, which could impede flow. To that extent, I would encourage probably everybody to say, if we can send a man to the moon, we should be able to figure out how to keep the flow going in that ditch. So to that extent, I think it's solvable, but there's other things getting thrown in here that have nothing to do with the variance, and I just want to point that out. Sarah, did you have conditions that were printed out in the materials?
No, they're not printed in the materials. I could throw them. Can I throw them in the chat? Is that? I suppose they're public knowledge, aren't they?
Well, I think what I would like would be for you to just verbalize them one more time so that everybody understands what the conditions would be, and then. Does this go to the city council? Final. This would be the final decision. So then I think it's inherent that all the members know what the conditions are as clear as they possibly can.
Yep, absolutely. So I just put them in the chat for everybody as well, but I'll go ahead and read them off so they're verbalized here as well. So one. No improvements shall obstruct or damage or otherwise have a limiting effect on the capacity of the county ditch number 23 system. Two, no improvement shall be constructed by Menard Inc. prior to city and county ditch authority approval of plans to maintain hydraulic capacity of the ditch system. And three, any costs associated with changes to the county ditch system to maintain that hydraulic capacity for improvements shall be the sole responsibility of Menards.
Are these conditions coming from Sean or the county or both or?
All of the above, as well as the city attorney. We feel that these are the statute allows for conditions of a variance as long as there's what we call rough proportionality. Basically that because of this variance, it's directly affecting the stitch and therefore it's appropriate for us to have these conditions to ensure that those findings are met.
This is Sandana Ashley. My question is on your last point. Is that an ongoing thing that Menards will be responsible for, or is it just as they are building this new lane?
Sean, I might tag you in on this one a little bit. Sean and I were discussing, our city engineer and I were discussing this earlier. The county felt that having a culvert in that area would cause higher maintenance costs. However, Sean did not think that. He thought that, you know, jutting out a culvert would be less expensive than having to clean the open ditch system. I think there's pros and cons to both. Sean, what do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, that kind of covers it in general. I just, without talking to the specifics of who from the county mentioned that it would be more expensive to maintain a culvert, I'm having a hard time believing that. It quite possibly could be true, and at that point I suppose we could make stipulation that if there's notable cost over and above the maintenance of an open ditch, then Menards could help us with that, but I'm not sure that would be significant. Bruce, did you have anything else beyond that, you think, that you can think of?
No, I think you got it. Just make sure any incremental increases in cost of maintenance or operation is absorbed as appropriate.
So my follow-up question then is, with these stipulations, has Menard agreed that they're willing to abide by them?
Yes, all the stipulations are just fine, including the maintenance costs we just talked about.
And if the board chose to make these conditions of the variance and any further improvements would not be allowed by the city unless these conditions were met as well. So they are binding.
Sarah, would we need a document or an agreement that would stipulate these items, or is it just being in the minutes? Or
yeah, that's what we tend to do. Is it's reflected in the minutes. The minutes go to City Council and are also approved in that manner and kept in the City Council packet as well. But there wouldn't. Maybe a part of the building permit improvement permit process, engineering would want something as part of their as they're approving plans or something like that, but not for this step in the process. Okay. And these conditions have also been reviewed by Robert, our city attorney.
I guess, does anyone have any more questions related to number four, the requiring the conditions?
No, I don't.
I think the main part then would be still number two, the uniqueness. And like I said, I guess the way I'm coming down on that is it's I see it as half Menards cramming too much in on initial construction, but there's also the uniqueness of the land here where it is sandwiched between a ditch and a marshland. So it's not like they can just go buy up extra property and stick it somewhere else. I don't know if anyone wants any more clarity on that or if anyone has any other issues before we talk about moving to a vote.
I have none.
I have no other questions.
I don't have any questions.
Well, should we move to a vote? Do I have to formally call for a vote there, Sarah, or?
Yeah, we'd want a motion first. Okay. So we'd want to know if the board wants to approve or deny the request.
And then if
you want to approve, you would also want to make sure that your motion includes those conditions. At least that would be staff recommendation.
Motion include those requirements that the city has established, or the city and county have established?
Yes.
Or do we have to specifically mention those?
You can, in your motion, you can mention the conditions as presented by staff, but you'd want to make sure that that's in your motion. Chris, before we move forward, one last thing. Sean brought up a good point. I don't believe we ever closed the public hearing, so if we just want to go ahead and close that and then bring it to the board for a motion.
Do I motion that or just announce its closure?
You would just ask if there's anybody else present to speak for or against the public hearing, and hearing none, then you would close. Yeah.
All right. Does anyone have any public comments for the hearing or for the meeting today?
Sarah, do you need to take each one of the four conditions and make a determination on that, or can you do that all in lump sum?
Once we get a motion, then we will have Chris read the findings of fact again. Yep.
Any other comments, public comments? All right, then I will announce public comments are closed.
Perfect.
Would anyone like to make a motion approving or denying?
I'd make a motion that we approve the variances requested by Menards if they are able to satisfy the requirements of the city and the county. Sarah, is that stated okay?
Perfect. Then we'll need a second if there is one.
I will second that motion.
All right. In that case, Chris, would you want to go ahead and read those findings of fact off to make sure that everyone is aware of the findings that they have made or that they would be approving if they approved this motion?
Do you want me to go through the actual requirements of the statute, or do you want me to actually go in depth similar to what Tyler did on his letter there?
Just reading through the findings of fact as stated in the ordinance that the property owner proposes to use the property in a reasonable manner, et cetera.
Okay, so the statutory requirements.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so what we're following here is a variance shall be granted only if it is established that it is in harmony with the general purpose and intent of this ordinance. That is, that it is consistent with the comprehensive plan and that there are practical difficulties in carrying out the strict letter of the provisions of this ordinance. The Board of Zoning Appeals shall make the following affirmative findings before determining the practical before determining that practical difficulties exist. One, the property owner proposes to use the property in a reasonable manner, not permitted by the zoning ordinance. Two, the plight of the landowner is due to unique circumstances, not created by the landowner. Three, the variance is granted. The variance, if granted, will not alter the essential character of the locality. And four, the variance, if granted, will not be detrimental to nor endanger the public welfare.
All right, with that, we will do a roll call vote. Board Member Ashley.
I vote in favor.
Board Member Regstad. Dan, are you still on?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you vote in favor of the motion?
Oh, yes, I'm in favor. Yes, I'm sorry.
No worries. Board Member Frank.
Yay.
And Board Member Munson.
Yes.
All right, 4 ayes, 0 nays. That concludes discussion on item number 3.
All right, do we have any miscellaneous?
No miscellaneous.
Well then, shall we adjourn?
Okay.
Anybody else?
I just want to say thank you, everybody. We appreciate that.
Okay.
All right. Well, if there's no other comments, then I will announce the meeting adjourned.
Yeah, I think actually it takes a motion. So if we have a motion to adjourn.
I'll motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Perfect. And the recording.